You know, sometimes things are not at all what they appear to be. Sometimes we deceive ourselves and we make assumptions that are false. Like perhaps a person who seems to be one thing is actually not that at all. Hi, my name's Dan and welcome to Dedunking. Now before we get into this, I do have a retraction to make. In my last video, I conflated the 5th Dynasty and the 15th Dynasty sites. There was two different finds that I put the two together in the video and made it like one site. So why did I do that? Well, I didn't make the mistake, I repeated the mistake. I'd been reading articles about the 5th Dynasty site, the one with the pink door and the altar, and then I came across the Fox News article that had the interview with the American dude, and I was already aware that the Egyptians had said, hey man, this is an Egypt-only deal, so when I saw it, I'm like, well, that's weird. And then I saw that the site was all, you know, like he'd saw all this different stuff, and he was thinking it was something different, so I made a mistake. And egg on my face, and I want to quickly thank Therese Clark, aka the average Aussie Egyptologist on Twitter, even though she's antagonistic to people that I like, and I'm antagonistic to people that she likes. We managed to get along well enough with each other that she sent me this information without being like, hey, you son of a gun, you got everything wrong. And she understood that it was going to take me a hot minute to get this taken care of. Because, look, man, I just went to the Sage Wall with Jimmy and Mike and a bunch of other people that I met, old friends and new alike. It was great. And I had a trip planned. I'm a single dad. I don't have all the time in the world. So I didn't just, and I'm not just going to take somebody else's word for it. I don't care who you are. I'm going to look into this myself. So when she told me that, she was polite enough to understand it was going to take me a minute, unlike some other people who just made a big stink about this. But anyway, I did repeat an error, and that sucks. But you have to kind of ask yourself, why would I have accepted this and not looked into it? Which, in hindsight, I guess I should have double-checked more and looked and seen if there was the possibility that they'd conflated the two sites. But I would have assumed that a professional news outlet would have done that. But, oh well, again, egg on my face. But why would I just so quickly believe that? Well, I don't know if any of you have watched the Joe Rogan Zahi Hawass interview, but if you did, it should kind of let you know very well the issues that we have with Egyptology. Because if you're not aware who Zahi Hawass is, he is literally like King Poop of Turd Island when it comes to Egyptology. He's like been the number one Egyptologist in the world for, I don't know, 30, 40 years. All my life, he's been the dude I'd see on specials and whatnot. Him and Mark Lenner, who was the other primary Egyptologist of the last 30, 40, 50 years. These guys have co-authored numerous papers and books together. They are a powerhouse in the world of Egyptology. So to see Zahi Hawass on Joe Rogan not know a lot of things that seem very basic, well, let's just start with Zeptepi. Let's see what Zahi Hawass has to say about it.
Tell me about Zeptepi.
What's Zeptepi? What's this?
You never heard about...
Tell me, what is this list?
In Egyptian, Zeptepi refers to the first time or the first occasion.
Who said
this? This is an AI. It refers to a mythical golden age of Egypt where gods lived on earth and civilization was in its infancy. This period is often associated with the beginning of creation and the establishment of societal structures. Have you you've never heard of that before?
No, and this is not true.
Now, if you watched my videos in the past, or you watched Graham Hancock stuff, or Robert Bavall, or so many other alternate historians, you're going to know what Zeptepi is, right? It's the mythological Egyptian first time, the time of creation. To quote Graham and Robert in the book they co-authored together, The Message of the Sphinx, there are repeated references in the book of What is in the Dua and numerous other funerary and rebirth texts to Zeptepi the first time, the remote epoch when the gods were believed to have come to earth and established their kingdom in Egypt. Or on the website ascendingpassage.com, when they're discussing the Memphite kings list, we see this. The Egyptians began their chronology with an ancient high culture they called Zeptepi that existed about 35,000 BC and was ruled by 10 gods. Then came 6 dynasties of lesser gods and 9 dynasties of demigods who ruled Egypt for tens of thousands of years. Well, of course, the woo peddlers believe it was real, but what do actual Egyptologists say? Well, according to German Egyptologist Jan Assmann, and yes, I mispronounced that name on purpose, In Egyptian cosmology, however, there is not creation, but rather an initial ignition, the moment of transition between pre-existence and existence. The Egyptian term for this moment is zeptepi, literally the first time. This moment separates the primordial chaos, pre-existence, from the cosmogenic process, not from the accomplished cosmos. And according to Belgian Egyptologist Tom Gilland, this is common knowledge to Egyptologists. Tradition and the respect for tradition were deeply rooted in Egyptian civilization. For most Egyptians, tradition meant reproducing what has been done before, ideally what has always been done since the beginning of time, what they called the zeptepi, the first time. This, of course, is common knowledge in Egyptology and does not need special emphasis. But I'm going to put some special emphasis on it because I'm me. But here, there's really two things to point out here. One is that they don't, they claim that Egyptologists know all this stuff. According to Gillen, Egyptologists know what Zeptepi is to the point we don't even really need to talk about it. The second thing worth pointing out is a difference in spelling. This one seems to be lacking vowels, pretty common thing when I see the translations of hieroglyphs, but I'm no expert, so don't crucify me there. I think I see A sometimes, so maybe I'm getting something wrong, I don't know. Don't quote me on that. My point is this is the translation. If you're looking for information and you're trying to find it from more academic sources, that will help you a lot. Also, we're going to revisit this spelling, so put that in your little noodle there as we go forward. So here we go. Zeptepi is something the Egyptologists and alternate historians alike believe in. And so I suppose we should probably learn what it is. I mean, since Zahi Hawass, the number one Egyptologist in the world, doesn't know or seems to not know what other Egyptologists say is so common that we don't really need to talk about it. Maybe that's why Zahi doesn't know. But it seems like maybe some of my followers don't know, or at least that there's definitely going to be some tidbits or some information to get into. So let's start from the alternate historians, and then we'll talk about what the academics have to say about it too, and we'll give a good general rundown of Zeptepi from both sides of the fence. First thing we'll talk about is, like, you know, Robert Bovall and Graham Hancock, but Bovall is really the one who paved the way on this work. And he basically, his version of Zeptepi is attached to the Orion-Giza correlation, and, here's a good translation, or good interpretation of it here. Zeptepi, the first time, is often referred to in Egyptian texts, the remote epoch when the gods were believed to have come to earth and established their kingdom in Egypt. In the author's view, the first time refers to a time long ago when Orion was at its lowest meridian point, just above the horizon to the south. Now Orion appears quite high in the sky, although it is still a southern constellation. The apparent movement of Orion in the sky is due to the Earth's precession cycle, which is of a duration of 25,920 years. According to Robert Bovall, this puts Zeptepi right around 10,500 BC, and most alternate historians seem to agree with that, or they take it they follow the same precession of the equinoxes, the 25,920-year cycle, and so they'll take it back another 26,000 years, or even 52,000 years I've seen in a couple of places. So, at any rate, it is attached to the precession cycle, which is it's like if you spin a top and it spins one direction and then the axis of the top spins the other. That's what the Earth does, and that changes the elevation of things like Orion in the sky over thousands of years. So, using real science, this is what Robert Bovall's position is, and this is a very common one. Again, to quote from him in Message of the Sphinx, "In their most profound and beautiful of religious texts, the ancient Egyptians spoke of the time of the gods, Zeptepi, literally the first time, with unshakable conviction that there had indeed been such an epoch. In other words, they believed that Zeptepi had been an actual historical event. In line with the prevailing dualism, they also believed that it had been projected and recorded in the catalog of the starry sky. Indeed, it was a story that was reenacted endlessly in the cosmic setting by the cyclical displays of the celestial orbs and the constellations. What they had in mind, in other words, was a kind of cosmic passion play expressed in the language of allegorical astronomy, in which each main character is identified with a specific celestial body. Ra was the sun, Osiris was Orion, Isis was the star Sirius, Thoth was the moon, and so on and so forth." Now, by and large, this is accurate as far as the celestial bodies representing different gods. And Graham and Robert are not the only people to bring up this archaeoastronomy angle when they discuss this sort of thing. There's many alternate historians that do. And there's a lot of actual historians that will get into the actual archaeoastronomy side of it as well, a lot of actual academics. But they are definitely less interested in that side of it, it seems, than they are in other things. And when it comes to opposition to Graham and Robert's position here, the number one bit of opposition, clearly they're going to find, is the age. And they don't, academics don't want to play with no 12,000-year-old sphinx or whatever, right? So you're going to get opposition from that right off the bat. Instead of archaeoastronomy or a 12,000-year-old Giza plateau, the focus in the academic community tends to be on the creation myth that Zeptepi is associated with and the symbolism one should expect to find with this in mind. For example, a UCLA Encyclopedia of Egyptology article by German Egyptologist Klaus Kuhlmann on the symbolism of the pharaonic thrones, he says, "Thrones usually stood on a dais inside of a kiosk, elevating the ruler well above his subjects and displaying his supreme social rank. At the same time, the arrangement was meant to evoke a comparison with the sun god resting on the primordial hill at the moment of the creating of the world. The enthronization of the pharaoh was thought to be a perpetuation of this cosmic act, which was referred to as the first time, Zeptepi." So the creation myth that he's referring to here basically says that there was a flood and that the first mound of earth to come through it, like the primordial mound, was associated with the Benben. You might have the Bennu bird that was perched on it. You might have the god Adam that came up on it, sitting with his lotus flower. There's a couple different versions of the myth, but they do involve this stone, this primordial pokey mound coming up through the earth. They're a little difficult to translate from the original text, but I'll put some links down below if you want to read the myth from people who've translated it or have made like it made it more accessible to the modern brain. But basically the idea of the myth is piece of dirt comes through water. This piece of dirt has become the Benben stone, which is the top of a pyramid, right? The Pyramidion. This piece of dirt was emulated inside of pyramids. They would put these in the bottom. They would leave a mound of bedrock in many of the pyramids to presumably to represent this mound of earth. It was a very important thing. As a matter of fact, I've spoken about it in my breakdowns of like things like the Sphinx and whatnot. So anyway, it goes without saying, according to Egyptologists, right? This is extremely, extremely robust stuff. The Egyptologists that earlier told us that it does not need special emphasis, in the same paper, he's discussing an artificial language created during the Ptolemaic period that's known as Egyptian de tradition. He says, "When speaking of Egyptian de tradition, the following qualifications immediately come to mind. It is reproductive. It is mimetic, which means the scribes deliberately tried to emulate, to copy, to imitate the linguistic standards of the past. It is conservative, which means that the scribes try to renew an age that was seen as a golden age, a time which itself was linked to the mythic time of the origins, the Zeptepi." In the footnotes of a paper discussing a pretty hard-to-find seahorse symbol, we'll read the following. "The term Zeptepi is not attested in the pyramid texts, and even in the coffin texts. It appears only indirectly, in the parallel chapter of the later Book of the Dead. It refers to the time when the creator god first appeared from the primeval chaos. The gods of Zeptepi are primeval beings carrying with them the potential of all creation and the future world order." The idea of Zeptepi was a time of the beginning of the order of creation. The cosmos began. A primeval mound came up and the floods of chaos were dispelled, and now the beginning of the order that we know today exists. This was said by people like Robert Bival and Graham Hancock and many other alternate historians believe this, myself included, that they believed that this was emulated in the heavens. This is a very common thing, was for people to believe what happened on the earth was emulated in the heavens. As above, so below is not pure Hermeticism. You'll find this all over the world. But in addition to that, we also see that it's something that's used as a touchstone for Egyptologists when they're looking at anything. They can be evaluating a throne. They can be evaluating a language. And they're going to use the lens of Zeptepi, the knowledge that this was an important myth to the Egyptians, is going to be part of their toolkit to evaluate an artifact. Which begs the question, how the fuck does Zahi-Hawass not know about this? I mean, really, how does that happen? I'll start by giving the man the benefit of the doubt, okay? We did see that the term was spelled differently and between the English and the Egyptian version of it, the academic version and the version that you see in the pseudoscience, right? But, you know, Zahi Hawass has been speaking publicly to the public about this stuff for how long? 40 years? To English-speaking people, and to he's debated Graham, or at least started to debate Graham Hancock. You know, I find it very difficult to believe that that's the issue. I find it very difficult to believe that he wouldn't have understood that. Now, perhaps he misunderstood what Joe said.
Tell me, what is this?
Egyptian, Zeptepi refers to the first time or the first occasion.
Who said this?
This is an AI. It refers to a mythical golden age of Egypt where gods lived on earth and civilization was in its infancy. This period is often associated with the beginning of creation and the establishment of societal structures. Have you you've never heard of that before?
No, and this is not true.
What do you mean it's not true? I mean, this it is. Just, I'm getting this off of.
It never happened at all.
Okay, I'm not saying it happened. I'm just saying that this is something that's referred to.
I never heard about it. It is not true. It has not existed at all.
Even if it doesn't exist, the myth of it exists.
I don't. Listen, Joel, why do I have to go to a myth? Of people
but
create is, stories.
If you go to Wikipedia,
I don't care about Wikipedia.
I understand.
I care about.
But it doesn't look like that, does it? So I'm confused, right? It's like after just making a mistake, trusting a reputable news source, I'm a little less inclined to say, okay, what it seems to me is right here. But it sure seems like Zahi doesn't know what this is. But that can't be the case, all right? The other Egyptologists use this for evaluating everything. He's been doing this forever. He's like the number one dude. There's no way he doesn't know what Zeptepi is. I mean, you'd have to show me a clip of the guy saying, oh, the King's List doesn't go back 30,000 years. Or carbon dating is fake. Or some crazy shit like that for me to even entertain the idea that he doesn't know what every Egyptologist seems to know.
Have you heard about the, like, you know about the King's List, right? The old King's List that goes back 30,000 whatever years.
Who said that?
You never seen it? It's not in hieroglyphs?
This is not true.
Is that true?
No. This is a speculation from people who knows nothing.
What do you base the dates on? Do you base it on carbon isotopes?
No, we don't. Based dating on the evidence that we discover.
Right, but like some of it is based on carbon, right?
No,
carbon
I don't believe in carbon date 14 at all.
You don't?
No.
Why not?
Carbon date 14 never given accurate dating.
Okay, well, I guess we need to talk about the King's List soon, don't we? Or carbon dating? Do I really need to cover carbon dating? You guys know what carbon dating is, right? You know how that works, right? Let me know down below what I need to cover. Okay, well, thanks for watching. Thanks for understanding that sometimes I make mistakes. And thanks again to Therese for not, you know, screaming and yelling the second that she saw that I got something wrong instead of having a polite conversation with me about it, even though me and her aren't, you know, our friends aren't friends. But anyway, and yes, there will be a video coming about Sage Wall. This is going to be about a month from now and stuff. I'm waiting on some more data to come in, and I'm talking to the landowner a little bit about he wants to make sure and keep everything in his ducks in a row as far as the tourism and stuff goes there. So anyway, that video will be coming soon, about a month. I'm getting ready to go to Cosmic Summit very soon, guys. You should come and check it out. It's going to be tremendous. There's going to be a whole lot of us there. And they do after parties and stuff. I've seen pictures of George in a damn disco suit. And I don't do the disco duck stuff, but I do Fortnite dances. So you should totally come and check it out. It's going to be great. All right. Thank you very much for watching, and I hope to see you next time.